How far does God's reach extend? When we think about the great empires and kingdoms of the world, they reach far beyond the boundaries of their geographical location. Whether that's by military conquest, when they send their armies into other countries and take them over, whether it's by economic development. So although you live in this part of the world, you know all about Coca-Cola and about Apple and about McDonald's, because it's kind of like an economic form of extending your boundaries and your reach. Or sometimes it's through international aid, sending money and other resources to other countries so that they can just survive. But what about the kingdom of heaven? How far does God's reach extend? The 139th Psalm, you could say, is a meditation on that question. And in that psalm, the psalmist says this: where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Psalmist thinks that the reach of God is without limits. You cannot travel anywhere in the whole created universe and be without him. And Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 1 that it's the same with the gospel. In the same way, he says the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. And we believe in this church and in the other churches represented here tonight that CAP is an expression of that reach of God. We believe that God is not interested in coloring the world map all one color. The whole world belongs to him already. He doesn't need to color it in. But we believe that God is interested in saving every life. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of his love and grace. And it is his desire to reach every life and change every situation. And that's part of the reason why we got involved with CAP in the life of this congregation and in the other churches mentioned here this evening. Because we believe that God's reach extends to the whole world, to the whole universe. And I guess everyone in church tonight believes that. I think if you were asked to tick yes or no in a box beside the statement that God's reach is universal, you'd tick the box that says yes. But I think there are often two problems with that assertion. The first one is that very often people who tick yes to that box have no experience of the presence of God. Even though we might say that he is available universally and that there's no place we can go that he is not there, yet very often we are without an experience of his presence. That was not true of the psalmist. In that 139th psalm, in verse 18, he says this: when I awake, I am still with you. It's kind of an interesting expression, that. It's where the psalmist is talking about the fact that sometimes it's kind of easy to feel the presence of God at nighttime just before you doze off to sleep having said your prayers. And you kind of feel secure and safe and it's okay. But it's much harder when you wake the following morning to face the realities of life. David says, even when I awake, I am still with you. David knew what it was like to feel the presence of God. And part of the ministry of CAP is to bring the presence of God into the homes of people in need. When Brian and a support worker go to call in someone's home, they go not just to be Brian and a support worker, they go to be Jesus at that moment to those people. They will read the scriptures, they will pray, they will take on some practical duties that will help these people's lives to be changed. And you've heard the testimonies tonight. They are simply trying to be Jesus to the people with whom they call, to bring his presence into the places where they go. You might be struggling with this. You might say yes to God's universal availability, but you may not be able to say that you know his presence touched your life. Helen Rosevere is quite a famous missionary now, a much older woman, but in earlier years, an active woman in Christian mission work. She's written a series of books that tell her story. You may have read Give Me This Mountain. I started to reread the book over the last couple of weeks, and I've been really struck by loads of the stories that Helen tells in this book. She was a believer who was training as a doctor to go overseas on mission in response to God's call. But at almost the end of her medical training, when she was about to be ready and free to go overseas in mission, she became unwell. Her voice gradually deteriorated. It had been a really strong voice. She was able to talk really well, but all of a sudden she was no longer able to speak properly. In fact, she describes it in her book as like she was barking like a dog. She was hoarse and had no power. And after being examined in the hospital where she had actually been working, they discovered that there was something wrong with her vocal cords and that she needed surgery. Now, we're talking quite a long time ago. We're talking around about the time around about when I was born. So, like, that's ancient history now. So the procedures were not quite what they are now. And she had to enter hospital for the surgery. And after the surgery was over, she had to remain silent for 4 days. Now, Helen was a woman. Five minutes are difficult. What would 4 days be like? She had to be silent totally for 4 days, okay? And she's in a ward on her own in the hospital, unable to speak, having to be silent. And this is what she said. The Tuesday following her surgery, while I was alone and resting, a wonderful thing happened. Slowly an intense awareness developed. Someone was with me. My heart thrilled. The room seemed changed with his presence. A great sense of light was born in upon me. For 2 or 3 hours, I was deeply aware of a wonderful companion spirit, not hearing anything nor seeing anything, but just knowing. The encircling mist had lifted and left the way clear and inviting. He who was calling me on to service overseas was standing there, gently smiling, promising his presence and companionship and enabling, telling me to look forward and upward, not backward or inward. Suddenly, the months of struggle and longing were over. I was satisfied. Not that my doubts were exactly explained. They no longer seemed to need explanation. This was Helen's experience. God drew near to her in a way that she had never known before. And in the aloneness of this hospital ward, in the immediate aftermath of her surgery, Jesus Christ came close to her, and the presence of God filled that room and filled her heart. You need to ask God for this. You need to ask God to reveal himself to you. When we prepare worship here in Carnmoney, one of the things that's highest up on our list of important things to try and achieve in any act of worship that we do is that we try to create a situation where it is possible for people to experience the presence of God. It's not about the person up the front or the people on the team or how good or bad our visuals are and all the rest of it. It's about creating a moment or two when people can be in the presence of God. It's one thing to say that God is universally available. It's one thing to tick the box that says there is no limit to his reach. It's another thing to say, I know him because he's here with me. You must ask him for this. You come from different churches tonight, but for those of you who come from our church, we have a house of prayer on the Ballyclare Road, I-56 we call it. And that's a place where you can seek God's presence during the week if you really want to do that. Go there, sit there in the silence and the incredible kind of atmosphere of that place and just ask him to come. David knew what it was to experience the presence of God. Do you? We need to experience his presence, and sometimes we lack that. The other thing is that sometimes there is no dependence on his help. Even though you experience his presence, you can still be seeking to do everything for yourself. It's really nice to have God there. It's nice to sense that he is a companion, that he understands what your situation is, and that he comes close to you to assure you of his concern. But then you can just go on as if that had never happened and try to work out all the details for yourself and try to do everything your own way. And when you can't do it yourself, just to get yourself into an amazing set of worries about it. But the psalmist gave the direction of his life over to God entirely. Search me, he says, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Cap is useless without trust. The client trusts the center manager, Brian, or whoever it may be, when they call at their home. They trust the support worker who offers them confidential help. They trust the experts in Bradford who examine all the forms and negotiate with their creditors and seek, where possible, to work out an equitable settlement. And they trust the advice that those folks in Bradford give to them. And they trust the local church who comes along behind the CAP Centre offering support of other kinds. And without that trust, it would never work. And without trust in God, the wonder of his presence and his love will never really make a difference in your life. Not even a prospective missionary like Helen Rosevere always trusts in God. Because following the operation that I talked about a moment or two ago, Helen kept silent for 4 days, and at the end of the 4 days, the consultant came into the room where she was staying in the hospital and very unceremoniously asked her to speak. And she said at the beginning she found it actually really difficult to speak because she hadn't spoken for 4 days, and she kind of forgotten what exactly way is it that you make your mouth move so that sound comes out that makes intelligent sense. And so she struggled for a moment or two to do it. When she finally did it and got some words out, she was totally devastated because nothing had changed. Her voice was exactly the way it was before the operation. Surgeon wasn't terribly encouraging either, because he just said to her, oh, sometimes these things happen like this. We'll see you again in 6 months, and simply walked out of the room. She was absolutely and completely devastated and embittered at what had happened to her. And then she says, slowly another voice began to force itself through the night in my heart. Can you not trust me? It seemed to whisper. Did I not meet with you only yesterday, beckoning you on to myself? Why are you so fearful? My heart rebelled. Was I not crushed, unable? Have you not used your voice for your own ends, the voice said, for your own glorification for years? I will give you a new voice for use in my service. I just lay there quietly, and slowly peace filtered back into my heart. I felt that his promise was not only with regard to my natural voice, that this was just a kind of token. It was to be my whole life, my inability to be holy, my longing after him. All this he was promising to indwell and fulfill. She was released from hospital the next day. She went home with her voice just the same as it was when she came in. And a few days later, she was at a meeting at which quite a famous missionary was speaking. And this missionary testified to the Holy Spirit's work in his life. And when they came out of the church, she and the people they were with fell to discussing what they'd just heard in the service. Afterwards, she says, a group of my old friends gathered outside the church, discontented and unsatisfied. One challenged me directly, Helen, do you know what Mr. Darlington was preaching about in your own experience? Is this really something for us now, or only in old age after years of suffering and trial such as he himself has gone through? Clearly, and without a moment's hesitation, I said a joyous yes, ringing with assurance. And suddenly I realized he had healed. An amazed hush entered my heart, a tremendous feeling of awe. He had touched me. I looked forward, upward to him from that moment, and knew that I must always go upwards and onwards. Whatever happened in the world around, his call was to live always unto him. Helen Rosevere experienced the touch of God on her life. He healed her. And the point is that if we don't trust him, he can't help us. If we are not willing, as she did, to give the direction of her life wholly and entirely over into his hands, he cannot really help us. It's one thing to tick the box which says God is universally sovereign. He can be accessed at any point in the globe and anywhere in the universe. But it's entirely another thing to know his presence and to depend upon his grace.